Perhaps leadership has more to do with learning to follow than it does with learning to command, supervise, or manage. That's a great thought, is it not? Every good leader was and continues to be a good follower. By the way, every leader is following somebody. Amen. You never get to the place where there's no one above you.
Hi, this is Pastor Paul Chappell here on the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. I'm excited about the podcast ministry and the thousands of viewers and listeners who are hearing the Word of God through the ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church. Today we'll hear a special guest speaker whose message will be an inspiration to your Christian life. Thank you for being a growing Christian, and may God richly bless you today.
Open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1, and I want you to do something. I hadn't planned to do this, but I got to reading this tonight, and I want us to do it, okay? Stand with me, and let's read Joshua 1 together. Joshua chapter 1, and let's read several verses there. And in fact, let's read verses 1 down through 9. Let's all of us read that. You've got your Bible open, okay? Now, you'd go to a lot of churches and you'd say, let's read it together. It would sound like, the Tower of Babel. You'd get so many different versions, okay? But I doubt we have that trouble tonight, amen? So you read with me, beginning with verse 1, all together, okay? Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the river, the Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shall thou divide an inheritance, the land which I swear unto the fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for thy Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now, turn your Bibles to chapter 3 and read with me verse 7. Chapter 3 and verse 7. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Now, one other verse, chapter 4 and verse 14. Okay? On that day, the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. Dear Lord, thank you for your precious word, the infallible, inerrant, inspired word of God. And thank you, dear Lord, for these good men that have gathered here together tonight. And I pray that you'd help me to be a blessing to them. Lord, you have used so many of them to bless my life. And I'd like to be a blessing to them tonight, but the only way I could do that would be that you'd use me. And as best I know how, I commit myself to you, and we're going to praise you for whatever you do, not only tonight, but any time in our life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. I copied several things out of a book, my favorite book. Outside of the Bible, the book that I like better than any other book is Oswald Sanders, J. Oswald Sanders' book, Spiritual Leadership. And most of you have read that book. I think it's been given out at men's meetings and so forth. But just a couple of things about leadership from his book. Listen to him. The man who is impatient with weakness will be defective in his leadership. Now think about this. The evidence of our strength lies not in streaking ahead, but in willingness to adapt our stride to the slower pace of our weaker brethren, while not yet forfeiting our lead. If we run too far ahead, we lose our power to influence. Let me give you one other statement. What we do when we use the word leadership, or I'm sorry, what do we mean when we use the word leadership? If I were asked to define in one single word, the word would be influence. The late President Harry Truman often referred to leaders as people who can get others to do what they don't want to do and make them like doing it. That's a good definition of leadership, is it not? Listen to what John D. Rockefeller, the world's first billionaire. Wouldn't be bad to have him in our church today, amen? He gave a great sum of money to a school in Kentucky. And rather than singing the doxology, praise God from whom all blessings flow, they used to sing in that school, praise Rockefeller from whom all blessings flow, okay? But listen to John D. Rockefeller. I will pay more for the ability to deal with people than any other ability under the sun. Joshua did not decide to be a leader. He was a faithful follower of Moses and was probably very content in that capacity. However, God established Joshua as the leader of the nation of Israel. We often hear people today demanding that people follow them. We often hear people telling everyone that they are the leader. However, in reality, we do not demand followership. We commend it. If we are truly a leader, we do not have to constantly state it. We simply lead under the direction of God, and people will follow. Occasionally, someone wonders whether they are a leader or not. There is a very simple way to detect whether you are a leader or not. Look behind you. If no one's following, you're not leading, okay? Tonight, I want to speak to you on this subject, the right to lead. The right to lead. I have a good book in my library that's called What Right Have You to Judge? And by the way, we do have a right. The right is the word of God. Amen. Amen. And often we're asked, what right do you have to lead? And so let's think for just a minute tonight about that subject. The right to lead. The right to lead. Number one, if I have a right to lead, I must be chosen by God. I must be chosen by God. Now, men can elect you to a position, but only God can put you in a place of leadership. Look at a couple of men. Number one, look at Abraham. Abraham was a great leader. And in Genesis chapter 12 in verses 1 and through 3, we find these words. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of the country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Abraham was a great leader of his age. Abraham exerted a great influence. And by the way, Abraham did not choose God. God chose Abraham. Notice another leader by the name of Moses. And I am sure that when Abraham was in the Ur of the Chaldees and God began to speak to him, it must have surprised him. And when Moses was on the backside of the desert, having been out there for some 40 years, and all of a sudden he sees the burning bush, and he turns aside to see it, and God speaks to him out of the bush. And then God commands Moses in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 10. The Bible says to Moses, God saying to Moses, "Now come therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." In other words, I want you, Moses, to be the leader of my people, Israel. And perhaps like Abraham, and perhaps like most of us, when God would give us something that we need to be doing, Moses began to make excuses why he could not do it. And Moses said unto God, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children out of Egypt?" Now think about that a minute. When God called Moses to be a leader, the first thing Moses said, "Who am I?" And you read the Bible very carefully, you'll find that God never did tell Moses who Moses was. But he did something better than that. Notice what he said. And he said, God said to Moses, "Certainly I will be with thee." Remember, he promised to Joshua. And by the way, when he gives us something to do, you can rest assured that just as he promised Abraham, just as he promised Moses, just as he promised Joshua, that when God gives us something to do, God will say, "Certainly I will be with thee." And by the way, it doesn't matter who you are. What matters is God with you. And if God is with us, then we can do anything. "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." I've often thought when Jesus gave the Great Commission, and he didn't say to the disciples, "Now go out and do the best you can." But he said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Leaders must be chosen by God. Now let's look at some other leaders. Just look at the position of a pastor. The position of a pastor. What is a pastor? In reality, a pastor is a leader. Where does the right of a pastor to lead come from? In giving the qualifications for a pastor, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, Paul says of a pastor, "One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity." Now, what's that? Paul has said if somebody is going to be a pastor, then he has to rule well his own house. And then the next statement it says, "For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God?" Now, sad to say, but I have met pastors that said, "Well, I just let the people lead." Well, they can do that if they want to, but according to the Bible, then the pastor is going to have to give an account to God at the judgment seat of Christ for the church, not the people. And it is God's plan that the pastor be the leader of the church. By the way, that's not something pastors thought up. That's the Bible, amen. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7, the Bible says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." Look at it. "Remember them which have the rule over you." Now, every once in a while, you meet people who say, "Well, I don't want anybody telling me what to do." You're dumb. God has appointed some people to tell us what we need to do. And I believe from the depth of my heart that we are to honor God's man. By the way, as I was reading chapter 3, verse 7, and chapter 4, verse 14, where it said that God said to Joshua, "I will magnify thee. I will make you big in the eyes of the people." And then Joshua had some great victories, and God made Joshua big in the eyes of the people. And the Bible says they feared Joshua. Now, what does that mean? They run around shaking every time they met him and say, oh, I'm scared to death. He's going to kill me or something. No, no, no. It meant they respected him. They recognized that God was with him and that he was God's anointed leader. And they said, because God is leading you, we will follow you. I don't think I have to exaggerate tonight, and I don't think I try to convince anybody that God has magnified our pastor. Amen. From a little bitty building down on Lancaster Boulevard to the property out here to a Bible school and Striving Together printing ministry and all of the other thing. I think that one incident after another that God has said to us that are here at Lancaster Baptist Church, this is my man, follow him. And by the way, a pastor has the right to say, you follow me as I follow the Lord. That's exactly what Paul said. And is it not a wonderful thing that we have a man of God that just doesn't do things he'd like to do, but he gets into the Word of God and he lets God speak to his heart, and then God shows him what needs to be done, and he can come to us and say, this is what God wants us to do. And we in unison can say, we will follow you. Why? God has magnified him. God made him big. Dr. Paul Chappell didn't make himself big. God made him big. Joshua didn't make himself big. God made Joshua big. Moses didn't make himself big. Abraham didn't make himself big. None of the great leaders make themselves big. God makes them big. Leadership. Pastoral leadership. Where does a pastor get a right to lead? From this book. Amen. And thank God we have a man that follows the book. Then husbands. Husbands. And let's see, just for just a minute, how many husbands we have here tonight, okay? Lift your hand. Okay, great. You have a right to lead. You have a right to lead. In fact, you not only have a right to lead, you have a command to lead. I love Joshua 24:15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the God which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. And I'm going to check with Miss Joshua, and if she'll let me and my house are going to serve the Lord. Is that, man, that'd be a bad translation, amen. That'd be worse than bad news for good men, amen. Or whatever the translations are. No, listen to it. Listen to what Joshua said. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I believe from the depth of my heart, if we're the kind of husband we ought to be, we ought never have to decide on Sunday morning what we're going to do. I don't believe we ever ought to have to decide what we're going to do on Sunday night. I don't believe we ever ought to get up and say, well, what are we going to do this Wednesday night? No, no, no. We're going to the house of God. By the way, whose responsibility is it to see that that's done? You say, well, I'll leave that to my wife. God put it on you. That is not your wife's responsibility. The spiritual leadership of your home is your responsibility as a man of God. Now, I'm not bragging. My wife gave me the right to say this, okay? But honestly, all of our marriage life, we never one time had to decide what to do Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Not with our children and so forth. I can remember going back to our home every once in a while, and There were just a lot of things our children didn't do. Other people could do them, but that's all right. We just had some things we didn't do. And I can remember time after time going back home and having aunts and uncles and everybody feeling sorry for our children. They can't go to the movies and they can't wear these kind of clothes and they can't go here and they can't listen to this and so on and so forth. And I don't know how many times I've had them say, Brother Chapel, when your kids get big, they're going to rebel against you. And lo and behold, since our kids have been in full-time Christian ministry all their adult life, serving God, love God, and we go back home every once in a while, and people say, you know, Don, you in Virginia, you're lucky. That's not bragging, okay? Bring up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it, okay? That's our job. I remember when I heard a message on tithing, 1952. We just gotten married. 1952. Simple message on tithing. 10% of everything you make belongs to God through the local church. And I sat there and listened to it, and I thought, boy, that's right. I'm going to do that. And I went forward, and I said to Brother Jones, our pastor, Brother Jones, I believe what you preached this morning. And from this day on, I'm going to give 10% of everything that God give me back to God through my local church. And by the way, that didn't get the church excited, okay? Brother Jones told the church the commitment I'd made. And the treasurer didn't jump up and say, well, praise God, now that Don's going to tithe, our financial problems are over. Amen. At that time, I was making $40 a week. Tithe, $4. You say, good night. If I didn't make any more than that, I wouldn't mind tithing either. But when you only have $36 left over, that's not much, is it? When I made a commitment to tithe, it didn't make an impact on my church, but it made an impact on me. It proved that if I do what God told me to do, God would take care of me. By the way, we got home that day. You know what Virginia said? Don, charity begins at home. She had heard that from somebody. I don't know where. I believe she thought it was in the Bible, okay? Charity begins at home. We need that money. We don't have $4 that we can tap. And I said, but Brother Jones preached from the Bible. And he said that we ought to do that. And the Bible said we ought to do it. And guess what? In spite of some rejection or just a little bit of indecision on her part, we did it. And now I'm scared to ask her how much we're supposed to give, okay? In fact, I remember the first offering we had, 2003 was the first year we was out here. And I was preaching away about every Sunday, you know. And Virginia was coming every Sunday and every Wednesday night and listening to preacher and talk about the big offering we're going to have and what we should give and so on and so forth. And we got together to decide what we ought to give. Her way of thinking was about 5 times my way of thinking. I had to do some real catching up. Amen. Now, what are you saying? I'll guarantee you, she is as thrilled as I am that we began tithing. And sometimes they might not understand. But what did Joshua say? But it's for me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord. You say, does that mean your wife shouldn't be brought in on the subject? You mean you shouldn't discuss it with her? Sure, you should discuss things with them. But when God leads you to do something and you know it's right, you ought to do it. Pastoral leadership, where does it come from? Comes from God. Comes from God. The right to lead as a husband, where does it come from? It comes from God. I love Genesis 18, 17. Look at that verse with me for a minute. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Watch this. This is wonderful. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and a mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him. And I trust tonight that if God could not say this of you, that you'd get on your knees and ask God, God, make me the kind of man that you could say of me what you said to Abraham. And notice what he said. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken to them. I wonder tonight, just think about this with me for a minute. Can God say of you, I know, and put your name there, I know him, that he will commend his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. If God can't say that of you, you ought to be on your face before God and say, dear God, make me the kind of man that you can trust. That's what Abraham, God was saying to Abraham, I know him. I know him. Listen to one other verse, husbands. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the man be to his own, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And by the way, here's the way you're supposed to lead men. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And by the way, I'll guarantee you, if you'll love your wife the way Christ loved his church, your wife will have no problem following you. The right to lead. If you're going to have a right to lead, then you're going to have the right kind of life before your family. The right to lead. Number two, not only must we be chosen to God, but we must be a good follower. We must be a good follower. Let me read you an excerpt from a book I was reading recently called Leadership Images. Here's a statement. Jesus never one time used the words leader or leadership in the process of training his followers for their future ministry. He used words such as witness, servants, fishers, harvesters, salt, light, and other metaphors. Perhaps leadership has more to do with learning to follow than it does with learning to command, supervise, or manage. Think about that. Let me go over it again. Perhaps leadership has more to do with learning to follow than it does with learning to command, supervise, or manage. That's a great thought, is it not? Every good leader was and continues to be a good follower. By the way, every leader is following somebody. Amen. You never get to the place where there's no one above you. So everybody is accountable to somebody. And that's just God's plan of doing it, okay? And nobody can be a good leader until they have been a good follower and are willing and ready to follow the person that is over them. Good followers commend the fellowship of others when they become leaders. There's no such thing as instant leadership. Leadership begins with fellowship. In Joshua 1:16, the Bible says this. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And whatsoever thou send us, or whithersoever thou send us, we will go. Hey, that's quite a statement, amen? Now what's happening? These people had watched Joshua. And they had watched him as he faithfully followed Moses. And now that God has put Joshua in the position of leadership, these people who had watched Joshua follow Moses said, wherever you lead us, we will follow. Whatever you command us to do, we will do it. Look at it again. All that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou send us, we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. The right to lead. The right to lead. Number one, we must be chosen by God. And by the way, every person in this room tonight is a leader. Husbands, you're leaders. Young men, you are leaders. By the way, could I urge young men, whether it's college young men, high school young men, whatever, in your dating practices, you take the lead in being sure that your relationship is holy and what it ought to be. You say, well, that's up to... No, that's not up to the girl. You take the lead. You be sure that it's what it ought to be. Every person in this building tonight is a leader. You say, how do you know? I'll guarantee you, you're influencing someone. You high school boys, junior high boys are watching you and following you. The junior high boys, those elementary boys, they're watching you to follow you. See, everybody influences somebody. I've told this story, and some of you have heard it, but you've heard everything I've said several times anyway. But at one time when we moved from Mino City to Akashi, there in Japan, and we hadn't put our sign up yet, our name. Everybody in Japan has their name out on the post, the fence to the door, the house. And when in Japan, they always give you a receipt. Doesn't matter if it's just a few cents or a few yen. They'll write you out a receipt. Now, most of the time, they would not ask me my name. When I was in Japan, they would just simply write Mr. Foreigner. There's a word for foreigner means gaijin. It means an outsider. By the way, it doesn't matter how long you live in Japan, you'll be an outsider, okay? And they'd just write down, Mr. Foreigner. And you say, how do you know you're a foreigner? Have you ever been to Japan? Now, we don't know what a foreigner looks like here in America, amen? Because after all, what does an American look like? He may be any color, any shape, any size, or anything. Sometimes they'd give the reports of the people that were wanted by the police, and they'd say they're 5 feet, 5 inches tall, they weigh 145 pounds, they have olive complexion and black hair. Yeah, that fits about 70 million people in Japan, amen? So when you walk down the street, they know you're a foreigner. And you know, I don't know how many times I've been walking down the street and some kid hollered, Gaijin, Gaijin, foreigner, foreigner. Nagai Hanadana, look how long his nose is. By the way, look at the Japanese nose. Our nose is quite big. Mine's big compared to yours, amen? But it's real big compared to the Japanese. Never will forget visiting one time at home. Knocked on the door. A little kid came to the door. He looked up at me and he screamed out, Okachan! Kaiju kimashita. Mom, the monster came. So I went to the mailbox one day and I got the bill out for the newspaper. I looked at it, see how much it was. Then I happened to look up to the top line there. And on the top line there, it didn't say Mr. Gaijin. It said Mr. Jesus Christ. Mr. Jesus Christ. You know, I was taken back. I took it in and I showed it to Virginia. And she looked at that and she said, why in the world would he write something like that? And as we thought for a few minutes, it was rather evident. We were all they knew about Jesus Christ. You say, man, that'd be a great responsibility. Guess what? You've got that responsibility. Every one of you, somebody is looking at you. And I'll guarantee you, every person here tonight, you are the best Christian that somebody knows. You're leading. You're leading. In order to be... have the right to lead, we must be chosen by God. We don't just say, hey, I'm going to be a leader. No. That's God-given. In order to have a right to lead, we have to be good followers. We have to be good followers. Then in order to lead, we must be careful to listen and to obey God. We must be careful to listen and to obey God. I wrote down a whole page full of, I just ran off a program on my computer this morning. Abraham said to God, when God gave him a great command to take his son and offer him as a sacrifice on Mount Moriah, and Abraham's answer was, here am I. Here am I. Joseph said to his father, when his father was sending him to his brothers, here am I. Jacob, when he had that great vision, said to God, here am I. Moses, when he saw God, said to God, here am I. When God called Samuel, Samuel said, here am I. And Isaiah, when he heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Answered God, here am I. If I'm going to lead, if I'm going to have the right to lead, I must be sure that I am listening to and obeying God. Think about it a minute. Here am I. You know what it means? I'm ready to do whatever you want me to do. As difficult as it may be, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. I'm willing to be whatever you want me to be. I may not understand how I can be that, but I'm willing to be whatever you want me to be. I am willing to go wherever you want me to go. I am willing to give whatever you want me to give. It's a great privilege to be chosen of God, and you're chosen. Jesus said to his disciples, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you may go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit may remain. God, in his sovereign providence, has chosen us to be leaders. And he's promised to be with us. What a great privilege it is to follow the Lord. Every once in a while, there's some pretty difficult situations. We don't quite know what to do. And I hope we make a habit of meeting God every day and spending some time with God. I think of Eliezer, when he went out searching a wife for Isaac, and he had no idea how he could choose a wife for Isaac. You remember what he did? He prayed to God. And he said, Lord, I'm going over here. I'm standing here by this well, and I have no idea how to choose a wife. And man, he made a very specific prayer. And he prayed like this. Lord, when a lady comes to the well, and I say to her, give me a drink of water. Then she will say to me, okay, I'll give you a drink of water. And while you're drinking the water, I will go and draw water for your camels. Now, you had 10 camels. That's a lot of water to draw, amen? And drawing water in those days didn't mean turning on the faucet. It meant putting the well down, or the bucket down in the well and drawing it up. The bucket down in the well, drawing it up. Can you imagine? She probably worked all day drawing enough water for all those camels. That was a very specific prayer. Prayer is an intelligent person, more or less, you and me, okay? Talking to an intelligent person. By the way, Don't be so general in your praying that you'll never know whether God answers your prayer or not. I had a friend that went into the office of, or to the mission of Brother Ernest Reveal, great man that had a rescue mission in Evansville, Indiana. He said, when I got to the office door, I heard Brother Reveal talking to somebody. So he said, I just stood there, and I thought he was just talking to some person that had gone in the office. But I heard him say something like this. Now, Lord, everybody in Evansville knows that Ernest Reveal pays his bills. Now, here's a bunch of bills that need to be paid. And they're not my bills, Lord. They're your bills. And, Lord, if you don't send this money in, you're going to have a bad name in Evansville. And my friend said, I thought that was the most irreverent prayer I'd ever heard in all my life. After a while, Brother Reveal finished praying. He knocked on the door. He came to the door. Had all those bills laid out there on the desk. He said, in the process of talking with Brother Reveal that day, the secretary brought in the mail for that day. And Brother Reveal said, Bob, if you don't mind, I'm just going to look at my mail, see what God sent in. And he began to take checks and dollar bills and $5 bills out of the envelopes and so forth. When he got all the money in and he looked at all those bills, God had sent in all of the money that was needed to pay all the bills. Have you ever asked God specifically for something? By the way, when Ernest Reveal died, they had all kind of stories about him in the newspaper. He was known all over that area to be a great prayer warrior. One of the stories that I like best, it was in the Evansville Courier. It said, a banker pulled up to the First National Bank in Evansville one day, and he saw Brother Reveal leaning up against the columns, and he had his head down, just resting. But the banker thought he was praying. And they said the banker ran into the teller and said, go out there and find out what Brother Reveal wants. And whatever he wants, give it to him, or God will give him the whole bank. Everybody knew Brother Reveal could pray and get things from God. Hey, I got news for you today. God didn't die when Brother Reveal died. That same God is alive and well today. And he still hears and answers prayer. You remember when Paul and Silas were on their second missionary journey. They got to Mysia and they were planning to go over into Asia Minor. But God the Holy Spirit wouldn't let them go. And then they thought, we'll go to Troas. But no, God said, no, I don't want you to go there. And then at midnight, Paul saw a vision. And in the vision, he saw the man from Macedonia saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Have you ever wondered how in the world Paul knew not to go into Asia Minor? How did he know to go to Macedonia? And I don't have any doubt at all that every day Paul talked to God about what he's supposed to do. Wouldn't it be great if Lancaster Baptist Church was known for having men that could get a hold of God in prayer? I'm not even sure I should tell this or not. I'm going to, okay? Don't tell the ladies, okay? Year before last wasn't the best year we've ever had financially. And last March, when we were trying to decide what to give for the building fund offering, you have a tendency sometimes when things are not going well to just sort of slack off. And the closer it got to the time, the more I realized that God did not want us to slack off. That God wanted us to give even more than we'd given the year before. And every year it's increased some, okay? I don't know how long we can stay, okay? I used to tell Pastor Chapel, I'd like to join your church, but I don't think I have enough energy. Now that I joined it, I know I don't, okay? And we went ahead and we made the commitment. We made the gift and so forth. I went to a meeting in Florida the very next week. And the pastor said to me, I've never had a pastor say this to me, Brother Chappell. But the pastor said to me, Brother says, what's the largest offering you've ever got in your whole life? He said, we'd like to give you the biggest offering you've ever gotten in your whole life. And so I really racked my mind for the biggest one I could think of, okay? Now, by the way, don't think I get this much every week, okay? But I was in Texas one time, and the pastor got up every night, and he took the offering every night, and he'd just get up, and he'd fiddle around there and making out a check and saying, now I'm making out my check. I want everybody to make out your check. We're going to give the missionaries here this week a best offering we can possibly do. And everybody gives something every night, and one night gives something significantly. You know, they'd just take a few minutes like that, and then they'd all give their offering. And when he gave me the offering that night, I looked at it when I got back to the motel, and first I thought it's $520. That's a good offering. It really is, you know. But I looked at it again, and it wasn't $520. It's $5,200. So I said to the preacher down in Florida, I said, preacher, I got an offering one time of $5,200. And he said, we're going to beat that. And when he gave me the offering at the intermission conference, it was over $6,500. You say, yeah, but I'm not a preacher and I don't go to meetings like that. Hey, I don't get offerings like that often, amen? Wonder why I got that offering. Now, if we're not careful, we get this idea, well, I've got a little bit, okay, but a bird in the hand is worth two in the bushes, so I better keep what I've got, okay? Better save it for a rainy day. Go ahead. It'll rain. You trust it in the hands of God. It's amazing what God will do. God's done some great things at Lancaster Baptist Church, West Coast Baptist Convent. I don't believe there's any limit what God might do for and through us. And fellas, what will decide that will be you're taking the leadership in your home. And you're being willing to follow God's man as God's man follows God. Now, I've never believed in just blindly following anybody. I heard the dumbest illustration I've ever heard in all my life one time, a preacher made. He helped up to a bunch of young men in his church. He helped up a green hymn book, and he said, this hymn book is blue. This hymn book is blue. This hymn book is blue. Then he said to those young men, what color is this hymn book? And every one of them said, it's blue. And I didn't say anything to the preacher that day, but when we got by ourselves, I said to him, I said, preacher, that's the dumbest thing I've heard in all my life. I said, you can say that stinking hymn book is blue all you want to, but that hymn book is green. And you are teaching your people a bad thing. I've been a member of Lancaster Baptist Church since 2003. Now, I've listened to hundreds of messages, not all of them by being here, but by CDs and live stream and so on and so forth. And I've never to this day heard my pastor demand blind leadership. But I've watched him since 1991, and particularly very closely the last 7 years. And if I have ever seen a man that followed God, it's the man that God has given us to be the pastor. And fellas, if you're not willing to follow, if you're not willing to follow, you'll never be a good leader. And if you're not willing to listen to God and then obey what God says you to do, we have no right to lead. But God has chosen you. You're a leader. Every one of you are leaders. You're a leader. God has given you a position of leadership. And as you are willing to follow those that are above you, and as you're willing to listen to God, God will say to you, like he said to Joshua, I'll be with you. Like he said to Moses, I'll be with you. Like he said to the disciples, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I hope that your heart was drawn closer to God as a result of our time together today. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, let me encourage you to visit lancasterbaptist.org. You'll see a tremendous amount of material there that will help you in your Christian life. And then if you'd like resources to help you on a daily basis, visit strivingtogether.com. There you'll find our newest resource, A Daily Word, 366 devotions, one a day, just to help you begin every morning with God. That's at strivingtogether.com. We'll look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast from Lancaster Baptist Church.